A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, at first glance, the baptism of the Lord could seem like something fairly unimportant. I think it probably occurs to us that maybe Jesus just went through it for show, kind of to be a good example to everybody, made it kind of a symbolic thing. But it's not so simple. First of all, this is repeated in all four Gospels with more or less detail. This is probably the shortest version of it in the Gospels. But the fact that all four Gospel writers considered it important enough to put in the Gospel is, that's the first thing that might occur to us, that we ought to pay a little more close attention to it. And the second thing is, it wasn't exactly a strong case for Jesus being the Messiah if he had to go get baptized. Baptism was about repenting of sins. Now, if he was the all-holy one, well, what did he need to get baptized for? And good question. Oh, did he just do it to be in solidarity with all of us sinners? Maybe that's part of it, but that can't be the whole thing. Especially, he wouldn't have gotten into all four Gospels. They considered it pretty important, all four writers. First thing is maybe to back up a little bit and say, John's out there in the desert baptizing people. Far away from Jerusalem. No. If you go there, it's like a 45-minute drive in a car, and they didn't have cars back then. So it was quite a distance out there, the River Jordan, from Jerusalem. And people were coming from all over, going out to the desert. Now, if you remember who John the Baptist was, his father was Zechariah, who was a priest of the temple. And back then, in Judaism, the priest would always pass on his priesthood to his son. So you would think that John the Baptist would have wound up in the temple as a priest. And what's he doing his own thing out in the middle of the desert baptizing people? Well, we all know that the temple had become corrupted. The leaders of the temple, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, were all in cahoots with King Herod, who had built the temple. Well, now it was his son, right? But it was very much part of that whole corruption of Judaism, kind of selling out to the Romans, making their alliance with the Romans to keep their power. Well, John the Baptist, being a prophet, wanted nothing to do with any of that. He was the one that went to prepare the way of the Messiah, to make straight the paths, the voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." And in one of the other gospel, when Jesus comes to be baptized, John points him out to all the people and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Now, we repeat that at Mass every day when we celebrate Mass, that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And John wants everybody to know that Jesus is the Lamb of God. Well, what was going on in the temple? The temple sacrifices, they would slaughter a lamb, they'd slit its throat, and they would burn up the body. They'd pour out the blood. And that was a sin offering. Now Jesus is called the Lamb of God, but not in the temple. He's going to be outside the temple, and he'll be sacrificed as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So Jesus is out there with those sinners, not so much as just to hang out with them as a sign of solidarity, like, hey, I'm with you guys. But rather because he's the Lamb of God who's going to take on all their sins. And so it's appropriate he go through that baptism that they need to go through. When in the temple, you brought your animal sacrifices, you first had to go through a washing. It was a sort of a baptism, because you couldn't go into the temple if you were unclean. And once you were washed in the baths outside the temple, you would go up to the temple with your lamb or other animal that would be sacrificed, and then make the offering. What does John the Baptist do? They come, soldiers and all sorts of people, and they say, what must we do to be saved? And John says, you must be baptized and renounce your sins and change your ways. And he tells each group what they have to do differently. He tells the soldiers not to extort people, don't be unjust. No. He tells each group how they have to change their behavior. When Jesus goes through this baptism, he's going through it as the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world, because he is sacrificed on the cross. As he comes out of the water, the voice comes down from heaven and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then the Holy Spirit descends upon him. This is a really beautiful and important moment, because it's a confirmation from God the Father and the Holy Spirit that Jesus truly is the one that's been anointed to take away our sins. He'll be the one who was sacrificed. And he's in union with the Father and the Holy Spirit, in perfect union. It says in this gospel that Jesus came out of the water and was praying. That's a curious thing, that Jesus had to pray. You would think he was perfect, so he didn't have to pray. He was sinless, he didn't have to pray. He was in perfect union with the Father and the Holy Spirit, so he shouldn't have to pray. But Jesus needed that deep down. Over and over again in the Gospels, we see him going off to a deserted place to be alone so he could pray. So he could deepen and renew that union he had with the Father and the Holy Spirit. When the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, that's what happens in our baptism too. God takes us as his children, right? We're adopted sons and daughters of God the Father through baptism. We've been washed clean of our sin, and we've been brought into the family of God, and we have this enormous dignity from that moment as children of God. And now we're sent out to live that identity. The second thing that happens in the baptism of Jesus is the Holy Spirit comes down upon him and fills him. And what happens next? It's not mentioned, but it comes right after this. If you keep reading the gospel, the Spirit drives him out into the desert, where he does 40 days of fasting and penance and prayer. The Spirit leads Jesus. Over and over again, it's the Spirit that tells him, let's go this way, let's go that way. One time, Jesus spent the entire night in prayer. And in the morning, the disciples came looking for him and says, all these people need to be cured. They've come to our place. Come back. And Jesus says, no. I must go on to the other towns to preach the good news. See, Jesus had been in prayer with the Spirit, and the Spirit told him, no, it's time to move on from that town of Capernaum and go and spread the gospel message. See, this is what happens in our baptism too, if we're attentive to it. God takes us as his own sons and daughters and says, I am well pleased. And he sends the Spirit upon us too, so the Spirit can guide us throughout our lives to discern what's right, what's true, what we ought to be doing, how we ought to be living, how we ought to change, how we ought to turn from sin. The Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert so he'd have those 40 days to prepare for his public mission, And that's where it starts. At the end of that, those temptations in the desert, Jesus goes around all the towns of Galilee preaching. And guess what? His opening line, the key to his message, is the exact same message as John the Baptist. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change your ways, because I am bringing the kingdom of heaven. No longer the worship in the temple where you just go and slaughter a lamb and have your sins taken away. No, that's been corrupted by Herod, by the priests over there. Now Jesus is the Lamb of God who'll be sacrificed. And you've all been adopted as sons and daughters of that God. He's well pleased in you. And so we need to take from our own baptism a sense of our dignity as children of God, in a sense that we've been given the Holy Spirit to guide us. And we need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit for his lead, his guidance. How do we discern what to do next? Yeah, sometimes we just do it on a hunch, a huff. But do we do it in prayer? That's what Jesus did. He was led by the Spirit throughout his mission. Let's pray that we open up to the Spirit as children of God and allow God to lead us.